Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
And I'm Doug McBurney, and I've just got two things I need to follow up on from the last
couple shows.
Days.
Doug, we did Just War Theory on BEL.
Right.
And then we did Libyan War Just Unwise.
Yeah. And if folks want to know what that means, they'll have to go back and listen to those shows. They're available at KGOV.com on the internet.
Yes.
In fact, the entire Bob Enyart Live archive is available at KGOV.com.
Yeah, it is. Hundreds of shows.
Feel free to tune in. First of all, the name of the operation.
Yeah.
The name of the operation in Libya is Odyssey Dawn.
It's just, it's bizarre, Doug. That's another example that this was a hatched, botched operation.
I don't know if they have a
Odyssey Dawn.
Odyssey Dawn.
What is it, a Jackson 5 album? Odyssey Dawn?
Well, is this just the dawn of the Odyssey? I remember the Captain and Tennille. Yeah.
This is one of their one-hit wonder deals. This is Obama's
one-hit
wonder.
I don't know if they have a computer at the Department of Defense that just spits out random names for operations, or if someone actually sat down and thought about it.
At least Operation Desert Shield.
Right. We were shielding Kuwait against...
That was good. Yeah. And then, remember the Apaches went in under radar?
Yeah.
Cloak of Darkness.
Yeah.
And it turned into Operation Desert Storm.
Yeah. And very appropriate.
That was good.
There was a lot of sand flying.
But Odyssey Dawn?
Odyssey Dawn. I don't know. It doesn't connect with me.
I think
like that.
Probably Michelle wrote a poem when she was in high school.
Yeah. An Odyssey Dawn. Okay, I just want to make clear that I don't like the name of the operation.
Yeah.
Along with the general execution of the operation.
Yeah.
But also, typically when Tomahawk missiles start flying or American jets start enforcing a no-fly zone, the president sits down in the Oval Office with the flag and the bust of Lincoln and the whole production and looks the American people in the eye and says, "My fellow Americans, this is what we have to do. It's unfortunate. It's sad. It's necessary. Yeah. We have brave forces going off into battle."
This didn't come off like that.
No, he was in Rio. They had a picture of him in front of that statue in Rio.
Yeah.
And no Oval Office address.
Yeah.
As if maybe he doesn't take it that seriously and he's the president of the United States, the leader of the free world and all that.
Even when Clinton bombed that milk factory in Baghdad. Even then.
I remember the workers with the white outfits that had in English on the back, milk factory.
Yeah, so it may not have been a milk factory.
Maybe not.
But still, it probably wasn't a nuclear research center, or it probably also wasn't a chemical weapons factory.
Oh, certainly not.
But what we do know is that they made a movie out of it.
Yeah.
What we do know is that he bombed an Arab country when Monica Lewinsky's videotape deposition was about to air.
That's right.
And the entire Arab world believed, from a liberal pro-abort Democrat president of America, that we were bombing a Muslim nation to cover up his sex scandal. The entire Arab world believed that.
And why do you think they believe that?
Because it was true.
Yes.
In fact, Doug, I remember that the media, the White House media that travel with the president, that they were actually, I already spread misinformation since the show began.
Okay.
When I said that they made a movie about that, it's not true.
No.
They made the movie before that.
That's right.
The White House press corps, they were watching that movie.
Mm-hmm.
When their pagers went off, they could not believe they ran out because they got to follow the news.
Right.
And we actually had bombed Baghdad while Bill Clinton was enmeshed. Is that a right word?
Yeah. Yes. Enmeshed.
In this sex scandal with Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so what? The liberals forget that Clinton did this to America? It made hundreds of millions of Muslims believe that we would kill them to cover up his sex scandal. The liberals all forget that because they love Bill Clinton.
Yes, they do. It's to this day.
Yeah, he raped his supporters, sexually assaulted his supporters.
Yeah.
And liberals, for the most part, Doug, they don't care. They don't care if he raped Juanita Broderick, for example.
No, they don't care. Didn't care then. They don't care now.
No, they tell you they don't care. And in fact, I've spoken to a few hundred of them. They'll say, oh, they deserved it.
Sure.
They will say that in public. Well, they deserved it or they were lucky.
They'll say
that in public.
Sure. They'll say, well, look, you go up to a hotel room with Bill Clinton. What do you expect?
Yeah. And when he knocks at your door.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
Anyway. Yeah. But I want to put those issues aside now.
Okay. Because
there's other more important issues in the news.
So there was no Oval Office address.
There was no Oval Office address.
There was the State of their Union address.
Address. That was back in Clinton's day.
Clinton's day.
Blue dress.
The blue dress. Yeah. Monica's dress.
Everyone made fun of people who believed that a blue dress existed until blue dress was produced.
It was, DNA sequenced.
Yeah, that whole thing.
And it was a sequin. What do they call those dresses? A sequin? Sequenced.
DNA sequin dress.
It was the only sequenced dress in history. And then he gave his State of the Union address. It was a dress.
It was really all about the dress.
Yeah.
But let's move on.
All right.
Because there's not much we can do.
We belabored that.
Yes. But let's talk a little bit about personhood, because there's some interesting things happening. There was a debate in Montana just Monday of this week where a Republican representative, Wendy Warburton, has introduced a bill that, we're familiar. It basically proposes that life begins at the beginning. Mm. The beginning of biological development.
Conception, the beginning of biological development.
Whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
That's what the bill... what I'd like to do, Bob, I want to give you the Republican, the pro-life state representative who is carrying the bill. I want to give a soundbite from her, and then I want to give a soundbite from a Democrat speaking in opposition.
Okay.
And I just want to get your opinion.
Yeah.
So... State Representative Wendy Warburton, Republican pro-lifer who's introduced the bill, she said, quote, genetic code is decided on day one. We know her gender, her hair color, her eye color, what every dimple and smirk will look like. Her heart beats by 3 weeks gestation. Her brain waves begin at 40 days, unquote.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
Very encouraging.
And very scientific.
Kudos for her. And right. The science supports the morality that we're made in God's image. And from that first moment of conception, you have a living human being.
Absolutely. Genetically distinct from the mother.
I know a lot of pro-aborts who say they want to make this mystical, and they say the soul enters the body at a later. That's all bogus garbage.
Yeah. And there's a lot of weird religious writings throughout the years that they're able to quote. Because there's been a lot of religious leaders.
They're the same people who say that religion should not influence our law. And then they say, well, you know what the rabbi taught in the third century? Well, it doesn't matter.
No, there have been religious leaders throughout history who have wanted to cover up for sexual immorality and have allowed...
Promoted abortion.
They've left room for abortion. Yeah. In their religious teachings.
Yeah, we've had abortion for many centuries. The Hippocratic Oath, Hippocrates, put, I will first do no harm, and I will not procure an abortifacient. I will not help a pregnant woman get an abortion. Wow. That was in the Hippocratic Oath.
And Hippocrates is...
For a long time.
That's...
ancient Greece.
That's
ancient. A long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's Representative Wendy Warburton giving her... argument, and then Montana State Representative Michelle Reinhart, a Democrat, who opposes the bill, here was her rebuttal. She said, quote, a fetus does not enjoy a constitutionally protected status and is not a person until viability. According to the Supreme Court case that many of you dislike, Roe v. Wade, but yet it is still the law of the land and it trumps any amendment to the state constitution, unquote.
Yeah, and she probably, if she had lived in the 1800s, she would have said that about blacks. It's the law of the land. It's in the Constitution. You could own a black person.
That's right.
Here's what it cost, the taxes, to import a black slave, And we count them as three-fifths of a person.
Mm-hmm.
And the U.S. Supreme Court has spoke, mm-hmm. and they've said that you could own a black man.
That's right.
That's the law of the land. Some of you won't like it, but that's the way it is.
So that's the Democrats' position is, look, this is the law. If you don't like it, shut up. It's the law.
Right.
Whereas so, the person carrying the bill talks yeah. about genetics science.
Yeah. And science supports the pro-life position,
absolutely.
Personhood. But science itself is amoral.
Right.
Science can't tell you that the Holocaust was wrong.
No.
Or that lynching a black man is wrong. And when blacks were not allowed to use the same water fountain or sit at the front of the bus, this Democrat would have said, hey, it's the law.
You don't like it? Shut up.
Right.
Yeah.
And, Doug, you know, our law goes way back before 1973.
That's right.
Roe v. Wade.
Yeah.
And American art legal tradition has long recognized the fetus right to life.
Yeah.
And I'll give you a couple examples. Well, the way the our federal law has recognized the unborn child as a human being and with a right to life.
Okay.
All right. Let's say a pregnant woman was convicted of a capital crime and she was going to be executed.
Okay.
Well, there was something that goes way back to 1778 called the plea of pregnancy. And so there in 1778, we have a Massachusetts court recognizes Commonwealth versus Bathsheba Spooner that you can't kill this baby because the mother is a criminal. Uh-huh. That comes right out of the Bible.
Right.
And Doug, in 1891, the U.S. Supreme Court positively observed that in the law of the land, a convicted woman would be examined for pregnancy in order to guard against, and now I'm quoting, all right, this is 1891, U.S. Supreme Court, Union Pacific Railroad Company versus Botsford, and here it goes. A pregnant woman would be examined in order to guard against the taking of the life of an unborn child for the crime of the mother, unquote.
Wow, that's the Supreme Court.
Isn't that
1891.
Neat? Yeah, that is really neat. And also, we've had examples that an unborn child could inherit and other
yes, yes.
similar related issues.
And this, you know, those court rulings do give us another indication about the culture of the time. Was that back then when you were convicted of a capital crime, there was a good chance you were going to be executed within the next 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So amazing, the Supreme yeah. Court. So now, if indeed the law of the land recognized in various ways the right to life of an unborn child, then surely back, let's say in the 1800s,
mm-hmm.
if a woman were to have, if a woman were to tragically have a miscarriage, there was probably a police investigation. She was probably arrested
right.
and held yeah, until the police could determine.
And that's what the pro boards.
Well, that's what they scare us with.
That's what the pro boards say. And it is a fear tactic because in all of recorded American legal history, there's not a case that has been identified even yet. After these past years of personhood efforts,
right.
where a single woman was arrested, no doctor has been arrested because his patient had a miscarriage.
No.
No woman has been arrested. It's not one known case.
Yeah.
So we have an actual historical record of zero
mm-hmm.
versus the threat mongering of the abortionist.
Yeah. So if we were to revert to a more sensible time where the unborn child had the right to life recognized by law, there's certainly
right.
the idea that women would be arrested and that doctors would be living in constant fear is
right.
ridiculous.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Yep.
So anyway, I have not had a chance to read Wendy Warburton's Montana personhood bill, and so I can't take a position on it
yeah,
at the moment.
Yeah, we have to read it because
you have to be careful these
quite
days.
Often,
yeah.
get along, pro-lifers will introduce bills. In fact, National Right to Life has been supportive of personhood bills
yeah.
that would not stop a single abortion. They've made an effort to derail the personhood movement,
yeah.
and they will have beautiful personhood language introduced by legislators around the country.
Who are ostensibly pro-life.
Yeah, and it will say in the fine print at the end of the bill So you cannot kill this unborn child, and with all this flowery language, mellifluous sounding legislation. But at the bottom, it says, except for abortion.
Right, right.
So you can't kill the child in a personhood bill, except if you're an abortionist working for Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. So it's a scam, and it's not surprising historically. This is the way things go. Movements to try to do what is right are often hijacked by people for money and power influence.
Yeah, yeah. And you've got to be careful because look at what's happened in South Dakota this week. Mm. South Dakota has the governor has signed a law now that requires a woman who's seeking an abortion. It requires her now to visit a pregnancy help center first and submit to counseling to make sure that her decision is voluntary and informed. And then she has to wait 72 hours after completing the counseling, and then she can kill the baby.
And then you can kill the baby.
And then you can kill the baby. That's what's been passed in
and these
South
laws,
Dakota.
These and then you can kill the baby laws, like Colorado Springs Republican Representative Mark Waller, state rep, had introduced a fetal crimes bill that is a and then you could kill the baby type law, putting in our law not only, he says, you know, you could be charged with homicide, murder, manslaughter if you kill an unborn child, except if you're doing it as part of a medical procedure. Oh. Or even if it's a back alley abortion. I mean, it was just wide open, Doug.
Really?
Wide open. And he said there's nothing in this bill that could be construed to imply that the unborn child is a person at any point through all 9 months of gestation. Yeah. I mean, it's an anti-personhood bill.
Yeah, and it's dead, right?
It's dead.
It's dead.
It was stillborn.
Well, now, just so you know, Planned Parenthood up in South Dakota, they plan to file a lawsuit to try to repeal this law. So Planned Parenthood is against the South Dakota abortion regulation. So I'm not sure what that means. Planned Parenthood is, they have a knee-jerk reaction against anything that would restrict even one abortion.
And the founder of the National Abortion Federation, and she was for a while the president of the Catholics for Choice organization, she has been writing in the Washington Post, even this year, that she said, we pro-choicers, we need to start promoting abortion regulations because that is going to be essential for abortion to survive long-term.
Right, because if Roe v. Wade were to collapse for whatever reason, if it were to be overturned, this law in South Dakota, a woman could say, oh, well, Roe versus Wade, but what about this? If I wait 72 hours, if I meet and consult with the doctor, if I prove that it's voluntary and informed, well, then Roe v. Wade doesn't really matter because here's a law right here in South Dakota that says I can kill my baby.
And, Doug, this child killer, her name is Frances Kissling, and she was a founder of the NAF. And she's written now twice already this year. And, Doug, it's, I mean, she is advocating National Right to Life's political strategy.
Wow.
She's advocating it. She says that, here's just a couple quotes. She says, opposing restrictions to abortion makes the legal right to abortion vulnerable. She's advocating, Doug, regulations of late-term abortions. She said that these are not compromises, these abortion regulations, that they're necessary. She argues that we need to firmly and clearly reject late-term abortions, except in extreme cases.
Okay, well, yeah.
And that's George Bush.
Yeah, it's
that's
National
Right
to Life.
And she's saying that this is necessary if we don't, we, like Planned Parenthood, if Planned Parenthood doesn't advocate sensible regulation of abortion, we will be left with no abortion at all. And that's what we've been warning pro-lifers for 20 years.
So when the enemy starts to advocate your position, you may need to reassess your position.
Right.
Wow.
And this is a billion-dollar industry enemy.
Yeah. All right. Let's leave that aside.
Yeah.
I want to move on now to popular culture.
Yeah.
Which is a popular
A popular topic?
Popular topic.
You think so?
Yes.
I guess so.
Are you familiar with a television broadcast called Glee?
The first time I heard of Glee was about 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
It's been on for some time, right?
I assume it has.
Completely unaware of some show named Glee. They have singers and dancers?
I don't know. Sounds like a bunch of fairies to me. Glee? Like the Glee Club in high school?
It's weird.
I don't know. Anyway, apparently it is. It's about teenage kids who sing and dance.
They probably look like they're 30.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
A little 5 o'clock shadow, but makeup covers that up. Well, in an episode recently, two homosexual characters, Kurt and Blaine, shared a long-awaited kiss.
Oh, brother.
Now, Bob, I saw this. This was covered on ABC News.
Yeah.
And they were interviewing...
It's sickening. Yeah. It makes you sick. And Doug, how could anyone criticize a Christian for saying that makes me sick? Because we're born this way.
Yeah.
I'm born this way.
You are?
Two guys do that, I'm going to lose my lunch.
In an interview, former Saturday Night Live star, Victoria Jackson, who I know you're familiar with.
Oh,
I believe
yeah.
you've appeared with her on...
on ABC, on a talk show with... You've been on Bill Maher.
Yes.
On Bill Maher, Politically Correct, and she's been on the show.
That's right.
Victoria Jackson.
That's right, and she's been on that little pasty-faced weasel Bill Maher show.
Yeah.
So anyway, there is a... She wrote in a column for WorldNet Daily that she found the Glee episode with the homosexual kiss. She said, did you see Glee this week?
She's a Christian.
Yeah.
She's neat.
She's really cool.
Yeah.
She said, did you see Glee this week? It was sickening. And it, now there's a firestorm. And she may never work again. Frankly, she may never work again.
Well, you know, Doug, when Victoria Jackson was on this show, that's after we met in the green room.
Right.
Out in L.A. there, Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do this show, and I asked her, oh, I do this daily show, 50,000 watt station. I've got some questions for you. She said, sure. A week later, we do an interview. And I admonished her because of her. She's Christian, and she appears in a Hollywood comedy.
Right.
And there's nudity in the movie, and she appears nude in the movie.
That's unfortunate.
And so, Doug, I don't know. You may not recall that interview.
Yes, I recall.
You recall it?
Yes, of course.
What she said, she agreed, first of all. She agreed.
Mm-hmm.
And she was sorry and apologized that she had done this.
Yeah.
And she gave an insight into how it happens. And she said these Hollywood directors and producers, they give you a chance of a lifetime to be in a big movie.
Yeah.
And then the pressure that they bring to bear... The whole cast, the other actors, actresses, the director, producers, if you don't take off your clothes in this scene, you are going to ruin the movie.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. That's no excuse. She should be strong enough in the Lord to rebuke them and threaten to sue them.
Yeah.
But, Doug, where are the liberals? Where are the Republicans when there should be sexual harassment lawsuits, that should be a federal crime.
Yeah, that's a crime to do that.
To have an employee, you have a contract, and say, oh, by the way, unless you come to work naked, you're not getting paid?
Yeah.
Come on. You think the Republicans in Congress care about these women who are in porn movies and all and getting sexually? It's just...
I think they're consumers of that particular type of media, more often than not. Anyway.
Yeah.
I think that...
So Victoria's in trouble.
Victoria's in trouble.
Good for her.
Another thing she said, yeah, I was going to say, since that interview,
yeah.
I think she's become even more rock-ribbed in her Christianity. Here's what she said. She said, everyone knows that two men on a wedding cake is a comedy skit, not an alternative lifestyle. There,
whoa.
I said it. It's ridiculous.
Victoria, good for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Doug, you remember this show used to be on in 80 cities,
yep.
And there would be, they'd have homosexuals get married on the steps of a courthouse somewhere.
Yeah.
And they'd be in a tuxedo and a gown.
Uh-huh.
Black and white.
Yeah.
And we would go on the air from Honolulu to Orlando and say, even in their rebellion, They are affirming the truth that God made us male and female.
That's right. One of them was wearing a dress.
Right.
Yeah, even though it was two boys.
And one was in slacks.
Yeah, or two girls.
Two women.
Who knows?
And, you know, they stopped that. They passed a law.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the gay mafia.
The gay mafia passed a new law, new rules.
They said if you have a homosexual wedding and you dress as a man and a woman, we will kill you. And that ended. That is not allowed any longer.
No, now they, I don't know, what do they wear now? Sweats?
Well, two women wear two dresses.
Dresses and
guys. Two guys.
We don't want to talk about that.
It is disgusting.
Anyway, one more thing on the homosexual agenda front. There was a gay cure application, an iPod app that was available on the online shop at iTunes.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah. It was put forward by a group called Exodus International, and apparently it was an app to give...
And they're a mess.
They're a mess, right?
This is a group that ministers to homosexuals to repent and come out of that perverse lifestyle.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah, but they're a mess. But what happened with the app?
Well, the app, although it was given a 4+ rating by Apple, and it was allowed to be in the iTunes store... The homosexuals gathered 37,000 signatures on an online petition, and within 24 hours, Apple has, as of this morning, has dropped the app from their iStore. I don't know what you call it. I'm not iHip.
And they dropped it because they believe in free speech, tolerance, diversity, respect for all opinions, right? That's what they believe in.
That's it.
They're open-minded.
That's right.
Hypocrites.
They're for free.
They're the beautiful people.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Doug, the best debate I think I ever had with a homosexual, if somebody Googles Enyart, and Queen of Denial.
Okay.
Queen of Denial. Yeah. Speaking of E.T. Gone Home.
Oh, yeah.
Queen of Denial with Wayne Besson. That's a classic. But, Doug.
Now, I'm just... peripherally familiar with Exodus International. It seems to me that the work they want to do is good work.
Good work, but bad business model.
Yeah.
Real bad. In fact, back in 1991, I remember first year we were on the air, I interviewed in studio the executive director of a ministry like that.
Yeah.
It's called Where Grace Abounds.
Okay.
Former homosexuals who are ministering to homosexuals. And I warned them that this is going to devolve into a homosexual orgy.
Oh.
It's wrong. You don't have guys who are addicted to porn ministering to strippers.
No.
You don't do it.
That's not a good idea.
And so, Doug, it's happened in case after case, the leaders of these groups return to the homosexual filth, like the Bible says, the dog returns to its vomit.
Mm.
Has that been happening or no?
Well, the founders were a couple of gay men who, according to this article, they claim to have changed their lifestyle, but they've been involved in homosexual scandals. And another founder, after going on Oprah and giving the case for Exodus International, was apparently photographed in a gay bar and was forced to resign.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Late
90s. So it's and I remember, Doug, I remember Christians... other ministries on Christian radio at the time criticizing me for saying this. Seems like it flows out of biblical wisdom.
Yeah, pretty simple.
But I don't know.
It's sad.
It's a weird world we live in.
It is. You've got to have common sense, and you've got to think biblically. Thank you, Bob.
Yeah, wisdom. Thank you, Doug McBurney. Our website is kgov.com. Our phone number, 800-836-9278. Give us a call.